the Holy Word according to the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 14.
Glory to you, O Lord.
What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united with him in the death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives it to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Please read verses 12 through 14 along with me. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought by death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. The Holy Word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Well, come to the waters. Come to the waters to be set free. Come to the waters. Come to the waters and have life. But why? How? When we come to this baptismal font and we wrap ourselves around it and we see the water and we hear God's word, God's promise within that water, we can see it, we can experience it, but I often wonder why. I mean, why would we take an infant and place them in this water and say that your sins are forgiven, that you have new life in Christ? I mean, what have they done? What could they have done? Well, they've done some stuff, I know, but mostly good. What does it mean to be baptized? What does it mean to experience God's word and baptism and to be resurrected as he is also resurrected? Well, we could talk about this for weeks, right? I mean, as far as all the things that are happening in baptism. But I want to take one aspect out of baptism and talk about it today because I think it pertains to each and every one of us. In these baptismal waters, there's freedom. There's freedom from a lot of things. I'm going to take five of those things, but I know it's a list that goes a lot longer than that. But I think there's five things that these baptismal waters give. And when I say baptismal waters, what I mean is the Word of God. The gospel, the good news, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that we heard about in Romans chapter 1 that comes to life in each chapter as Paul writes to the Romans. I think there's five things that we need freedom from. And that in these baptismal waters, when we return to these waters each and every day, when we confess our sin, when we confess our need for Jesus, that we receive this freedom, that this promise, that this water gives. So what are they? What are these five promises or these five freedoms that we need? Well, number one is simply the most obvious, I think. Freedom from sin. If you're not a sinner and you're here today, you have permission to go. You do not need to be here. But if you're a sinner, if you need a Savior, there's no other place to be than to come to this baptismal font, to come to this water, to come into His Word, and to receive His forgiveness. Jesus answered them, saying, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin." See, everybody is a slave. Everybody belongs to something, to someone. And Romans 6 makes it quite clear is that either you belong to sin or you belong to Christ. It's either or here. And so in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, in this good news, something is actually happening. It's not just a great narrative that happened long ago, but something is happening still today. That in Christ's death, we also die. If we could, we would have a full baptismal font that would be a full immersion every Sunday up here, because then we would be able to see the picture of what is actually happening as the child or the person going in the water. There's a drowning that happens. There's a death that occurs. We've died to sin, Paul says. Because only when we die to sin can we be resurrected with Christ. So there's this death that occurs, that because Jesus lived the perfect, holy life, he does not deserve the wages of sin, death, but he takes them on himself. Galatians says that Jesus becomes sin on the cross for us. And so he breaks the bond that is all of us, that's holding all of us. Jesus breaks this bond and gives us freedom because Jesus doesn't stay in the grave. Jesus comes back to life, and because he is resurrected, we also have resurrection life today and always. So what sin are you dealing with in your life? Where do you need release from bondage? Who are you a slave to? Jesus said, be dead to sin and come to life with me. Maybe you need freedom from sin. Maybe this morning you need freedom from something else. Maybe you need freedom from the past. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. For a lot of us, there's things that we don't like to talk about in our past. We call them skeletons in the closet, I guess. But there's those things that when they get brought up, they make us a little bit uneasy, and we do our best to cover them up. In fact, we probably try really, really hard to cover them up. Right? They bring forth feelings of guilt and shame, feelings of shortcoming and brokenness, some stuff that we're not proud of. And it seems like always it just continues to come over and over and over again. Our past can haunt us, can't it? Our past can weigh us down. Our past can stick to us like a cotton t-shirt on a hot, humid summer day in Bemidji. And yes, that did happen once. But the devil uses it, right? Those past mistakes, that past brokenness, and he keeps shoving it in your face and says, you're not good enough. Look at what you've done. God could never love you. You can never be forgiven. But that's the story of the cross, isn't it? God takes that which is unlovable and makes it lovable. God takes that which is unforgivable and makes it forgivable. Do you know how hard it is to drive a vehicle while staring in the rearview mirror? Most of us live our lives this way, but I'm not suggesting that you try this. But if you were driving straight down the highway and you stared at that rearview mirror, that would not probably go too well, right? But this is how we live our lives, right? We can't take hold of God's desired future for our lives because our hands are so busy holding on and clinging to all those bad things that happened in the past. All those feelings of guilt and shame, all those anger and remorse and frustration and wonderings of why. God said that he made a new creation in baptism. God said he made you new. You can let go of the past. Jesus died for that. You also don't have to worry about the future because Jesus died for that too. Maybe you need freedom from your past. Maybe you need a new beginning today. Come to the waters. There's freedom in these waters. Or maybe you need freedom from fear. Jesus says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, but whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Fear, what are you afraid of? How does fear determine your life? You see, we live in a culture that's very much obsessed with fear. If you don't believe me, just open up the newspaper or go on your news feed. Why is fear so pertinent in our culture today? Because fear is a motivator. Someone can get you to do a lot of things that you probably would not do because you're fearful. And we respond to fear in a lot of ways. We even have a new word because of fear, right? FOMO, fear of missing out. Where does fear drive your life? And what do you do because of fear? Fear of not being liked, fear of being judged, fear of failing, fear of not fitting in. Where does fear run wild in your life? And where do you need release from fear? I'm guessing that fear motivates us a lot of our lives. And Jesus says, there is no fear in perfect love. See, Jesus' love and Jesus' grace is abundantly more greater than any fear that you may have ever felt or may ever feel. And God wants to release you from that fear. God wants to motivate you not with fear, but with love. May you be released from your fear in these waters. The fourth thing that I think that we are released from in the waters today is from ourselves. There's a great need in our culture to have it all put together, to do everything, to be everything. And this is going to be news for some of you, but guess what? You are not God. And I don't mean to belittle anybody. I don't mean to demean anybody, but you're not God. In fact, my friend has a saying, and it's really great. I use it quite often. He says that you can stop applying for the job description of Lord and Savior of your life and of the world because that actually is already fulfilled. That position's taken. You don't need to take that one. Jesus did that with his life, death, and resurrection. But you don't even have to actually fill out the resume. You can just be whom he made you to be. Right? We can stop pretending to be God of our entire lives and of our world and just let God be God. We can stop pretending to be God with our lives and we can worship God with our lives, our whole lives, with everything. We don't have to have it all together. We don't have to do everything to be everything. We don't have to go everywhere and do everything. You can just be who God made you. You can be who God's calling you to be. You're not God, and I'm not God. Jesus is Lord. So may we follow him, and maybe we be free from the demand to be everything. Maybe the last one is simply this, and this pretty much takes all of these and puts them into one. Maybe you just need freedom from the system. We heard in Romans 6 today, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Is that God calling? Okay. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:11. What is the system? The system is just everything that you can see and touch and feel around you. The system is everything that what the Bible calls the sinful flesh, the world, the desires of nature, the old Adam in us. And there's three ways to relate. There's three ways that I see people relating to the system. And these three ways are simply this. There are those that know the system. They see the system. They understand how the system works. And there's no escaping the system, right? We all live in the same place in the same time. But they also know God's truth. They know Jesus. They have a relationship with Jesus. And so they keep an arm's distance with the system. They know how to operate around it, but they're not in it. But then there's people that also know the system. They see the system. They can perceive what the system is, but the desires of the gratification, of the instant gratification that the system provides is just too much. And so they just give all hope away and they just live in the system. They take the immediate gratification of the system instead of new life in Christ. And then there's a third group. And the third group has no idea what the system is. They don't even understand that there is a system. The third group of people just live every day for what it's worth without understanding that there's something bigger going on. There's something greater going on. Jesus Christ died for all people. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you can have eternal life. In the baptismal waters, you can be free for that life right here and right now. Because you see, that's the promise that we hear this morning. There's freedom in Christ. We're no longer slaves to ourselves. We're no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to our past. We're no longer slaves to the system. Jesus left the grave behind, and you can leave all that behind. There's freedom in Christ. There's freedom today. Come to the waters. Come and be free. Amen.